Hi everybody, welcome back to the Gallagher Trots YouTube channel for our very special 1 week on episode.
1 week on.
1 week on. Decker, how does it feel? Does it still feel magical?
Magical, surreal. Still sometimes like I'm just walking down the street or something and I'm just like, God, he's gone. Like, do you know what I mean? To be honest, I'm still more in the sense of that he is gone. Still. Rather than
being rich,
I'm being really honest. I mean, I know we are rich and all the rest of it, but the sort of the feeling I've got is more that he's not here.
I get it to a degree. People will see this is probably going to go out after the overlap, which we were invited to on earlier in the week. So, well, the invite to go down the overlap with Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher, and that's how I was answering my questions mainly, not so much of who had bought the club and how much money was there, but more the fact of the how overjoyed we were that Mike Ashley wasn't there any longer and the 14 years were finally up. And every time I say that, I get a smile on my face because it just doesn't feel real. Like, we've got to remember, like, we're both in our 30s. A large chunk of our life and following and supporting Newcastle has been under Mike Ashley ownership. Mm-hmm. And the memories which I have before Mike Ashley are very far and few between because I was so young. Mm-hmm. So it just feels mental that he's not there anymore.
Yeah. It does also, you're right in what you say. I think maybe 21 I was in when Ashley came, or 22, somewhere around there. And like when I think of it now, them Robson era days seems so long ago, you know, like so long ago. And the day that you kind of thought would never come is finally here. And obviously, of course, as I mentioned before, it is kind of end of the rainbow stuff where you're getting these in. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I know we're going to get onto it. The week under their control or the new era hasn't maybe gone, I think, the way everyone wanted it to, which we'll get onto in our thoughts on that. But it's still an unbelievable feeling. I mean, I was at my dad's last night. I always go to my dad's for tea on a Thursday with the kids. And he said, he went, God, it was a week yesterday you were here when it broke on the telly, you know? And a week ago we were at St. James's Park where it felt like a new club again, you know, with everyone outside and all the rest of it. So,
and you said those famous words of he's gone, you know,
he's gone. It's still written on a bit of paper.
It is. I'm going to get that framed.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Yeah. Might as well get that framed. We'll auction it off. We'll get some more money for the podcast. We'll auction that little note off. Yep. But it just, we'll get on to obviously the last week. Amanda Staveley's came in and straight after buying the club, she then goes on to do all the media duties. So she's there at Jesmond Dean House. Apparently she had been at Jesmond Dean House a few days prior to this being announced.
Oh, okay.
So she had been up there in the build-up to that Wednesday when everybody thought that's when it's happening on the Wednesday evening.
Yep.
Obviously it rolled over to the Thursday, but Staveley and her representatives were there. George Colgan on the Pod on the Tyne podcast mentioned that he was sat there with a representative out of their team when obviously the news came through saying, right, it's happening. Which
it makes sense that because George did.
He's got the links there.
Yeah.
He's got the links.
And he did kind of say on one of his tweets, I remember going, like, it's done, it's signed.
Yeah.
We're just waiting for the official confirmation. So you're right in what you say. He must have been around the right people that I've told him it's done.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's when the Rubens quickly came up on the Thursday afternoon, just for everything to get announced and get the photos done in around the ground. George will be on the podcast on Monday, hopefully. Haven't heard from the last few days, but it's all penciled in, so hopefully George will be here.
That'll be a great one.
Just to go through everything which happened from his point of view, because George has been covering this for God knows how many years.
Yeah,
now. But roll not over from Thursday. Friday comes. We end up at the ground. Me and Mark end up at the ground. Amanda Staveley goes into St. James's Park. And the way that she greets fans on that first meeting and going into St. James's Park was just... it was just refreshing to see it. And that's all I can say, that there's a young kid playing with a Rubik's Cube and she goes over and has a chat with a little kid. A little kid completely doesn't have a clue who she is, just there because he's been dragged along.
I mean, I was going to ask this. You showed up on Friday, didn't you? And is that right that yous were helping tidy up the mess? Am I right?
So we saw the photos of the mess at St. James's Park. We saw those photos and thought, we can't just let that slide.
Yeah,
so obviously we'll put the meeting out there to me at 10:30. To be honest with everybody, by the time we got there, it was all done anyway.
Oh, really?
It all just about done.
Right.
I'm not sure if it's a council that's quickly gone out there to clear it up, knowing who was arriving late in that day.
Yes, fair point.
Yeah. But it stunk.
Oh, did
like
it?
Oh, lifting. Just beer and piss. Like it was lifting.
The Daily Double.
Going to happen when there's 4,000 fans there.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
But I'd all been cleaned up for Stavely arriving. And she goes in on the Friday, and me and Mark are still there when the staff leave to go on the likes of the dinner breaks. And she had just met with every employee that wanted to attend this meeting at St. James's Park. And we spoke to a couple of the employees coming out, and they were just taken away by how she was speaking to them and about future plans and just including everybody in the plans. And that's brilliant to hear once again. How many times has Mike Ashley done that? If he has ever done that, met staff?
I can't imagine him doing that. And I think what you mentioned there about how refreshing it was, it is exactly that, isn't it? I mean, the fans that were outside the ground on that day, I seen them like shaking their hand and things like that. And she was like saying hello to people. And we've never had that connection with an owner.
Never.
Except maybe the first...
When he was buying drinks for people in Blue Bamboo. Yeah,
maybe 3 weeks at the weekend where like he was having drinks with stuff for people. But other than... And listen, don't get us wrong. You know, not to be on a downer here, but it did start off quite nicely with Ashley in that regard. I mean, he's in the away and necking pints, and there was a lot of fans thought, hey, he's one of us.
When he's Alan Smith's shirt.
When he's Alan Smith's shirt, he wants to be in with the crowd, and that quickly turned sour. Mm. However, her introduction, she also did a brilliant interview, which sort of just, you know, one-to-one, if you like.
Queen speech-esque.
Kind of queen speaker. Yeah, exactly like that. That was refreshing. Great to hear. And it was just giving you a lot of positives of what the communication is going to be like moving forward, which is what we've really, other than spending money and maybe showing ambition, the one thing we have asked for from Ashley and Charnley is being communicated.
Just let us know what's happening.
Yeah, that's it. Just that, yeah. And we never got that. And it seems straight away we're getting that from her. And let's be fair, that's why she is here.
She's taking the hands-on approach.
She's the mouthpiece of the group or the organisation, if you like, which is fine.
And I think it's not just her. I know all the plaudits are going to Amanda Stavely here as well, but her husband as well. He's there. Yeah. He looks like he's won the lottery at times. Like, I'm not going to lie, especially when he's walking around the training ground. Absolutely great to see that. He's just tagging along in the background, kicking the ball around.
Thumbs up to everybody.
He's just loving it.
It was a nice one when they were outside, you know, the Millburn stand before you go into sort of like the glass building where the director's going. On there when he was speaking, like
hugging people.
Yeah, he was like, it really was like a pure homecoming sort of thing. It was weird. It was just like, because obviously when you see people that buy a football club, I'm expecting them to be like, yeah, it's great, but we're here for business type of thing. Whereas I felt when I seen their reaction, it was as if them had been fans all their life and they were like, so happy that he had finally gone and so happy that they were finally here. I think it's
because we have to remember, Amanda Stavely has been trying to buy this club for God knows how many years. And there's been so many people that have called her a liar. Like Mike Ashley called her a liar.
Tire kicker.
That was a whole curry night, wasn't it, around about that time? Yeah. Which is outside of our whole bottle of wine and our tabs.
Yeah, that was an attractive photo.
Yeah.
And well, that was the time when we thought this must be it, right?
Yeah.
They've met in a bar. A restaurant in there.
Yeah. And she's been called, like you said, a tire kicker, and she can't physically buy this football club. She's wasting everybody's time. She's gone and done it.
Yeah.
And you have to applaud her for that. The resilience that she's shown. And she's done interviews for the likes of TalkSport, and she got grilled off Simon Jordan on there, being the usual toss of himself.
Yeah.
But she's gone through it all. Mm-hmm. And for her as well, not just for us as a fan base that have endured Mike Ashley for 14 years, but for what she's gone on for, she must have been trying to buy this club for about 4, 5, 6 years, really.
Probably, yeah.
It's just phenomenal that she never gave up and she realized potential of this, not just for football club, but the era and the fans as well.
Yeah, well, she's definitely embodied that, hasn't she? Mm. And that's been part of our sort of the nucleus of wanting to buy. When I think the Simon Jordan stuff, as you've mentioned, they were TalkSport. I mean, he was grilling her, right? I mean, and there was a question he said towards the end. I remember that interview where it was like, "Are the Saudis still there, Amanda?
Are the Saudis still at the table?
Yeah, we are all still at the table." And a lot of people didn't quite believe what she said at that time. There was, even he's been crawling from under his rock, kind of going like, I didn't think this was going to happen, and it's happened. But yeah, I think there's, for all it's took so long to get here, when you think it was like 18 months ago or whatever, even longer, when all this sort of happened, it's happened so quickly though, hasn't it? When mm-hmm. if you know what I mean, because in one sense it hasn't, it's took forever, but in another sense it has happened almost overnight.
Well, the fiasco was going on for what, 18 months?
Yeah,
it just seemed like click of a finger, piracy solved, deal done.
Yeah, and I feel as if that's really caught us off guard. I think it's even caught them off guard, to be honest, to a degree. And maybe that's why certain things, which we'll get to, maybe have not been done as quick as some people.
So we'll get on to that now. I think you're right. It probably has came as a shock how fast that did happen and how fast they found themselves holding the keys to St. James's Park and the running of the club. Mm-hmm. Hence why certain figures haven't left.
One in particular.
So look at Steve Bruce. Steve Bruce is still there. I was confident that he would be gone before the Spurs game. I really was. I think majority of fans were that Graham Jones would take over. But then I read something. I'm not sure who was. I put it on social media. One of the journalists, I think it was, put something on saying, you have to remember, if Steve Bruce is sacked immediately, all the coaches go as well. Then where does that leave any sort of preparation? I think despite previous results and what happens, there still has to be some form of preparation and some order in place. Yeah. And maybe it's a case now where, yes, he will get sacked. We all know he will get sacked. It's just a case of finding that replacement before he goes.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think, again, you sometimes get carried away and you look at it from an aspect of, well, you know, we spoke about the trust doing that poll, if you like, and there was 90-odd% of people had said to go. That then led me to believe the second these come in the door, they're going to get rid of him. That was it. But if you look at it objectively, as I've mentioned there before, they weren't expecting to get in probably as quick as they did. You know, Rafa, who I still believe was their main plan, he was the guy, is not longer an option. There is no one there to come in straight away. And I agree with what you're saying is that, I mean, excuse me, there was a podcast I put on, I don't know if you've seen it, I put it in the WhatsApp group. I can't remember his name now, sorry, who did it? Castles, is David Castles? I don't know.
Yes.
He's mentioned that, from what he's spoken to people on the consortium side, is that they've already spoken to Bruce and said that your position's untenable. You know, our idea was to keep you in for a little bit of period, but we even know now it's not going to happen. Mm. However, we don't want to just sack you because then we have nobody else. And like what you say, all the coaches would go, so you'd have Graham Jones on his own taking everything.
Yeah.
And that can't happen. That just can't happen.
Similar to what happens when a company goes bust and the people that come in.
Administrators?
Yeah. When they come in, they'll go to a certain amount of staff. Would you mind staying on for the next couple of weeks?
Yeah.
Just to obviously finalise everything. Mm-hmm. Then off you go.
Well, it was
just what Bruce is going to go through.
True, it is. And it was the same with Lee Charnley. I mean, I remember I talked to my dad the weekend after it happened. And I was like, well, Charnley will still be there. And he says, he will. Because at the end of the day, a man I saved doesn't even know where the filing cabinet is.
That's so what your handover period.
Charnley has to have the handover period to say, this is what you do then, blah, blah, blah. This is, you know, all the rest of it.
I get that.
I get that as well. Because people were kicking off about that. And I was like, well, you have to have that. You know what I mean, you have to have the handover period to induct her of how the football club actually works.
I know what keep on saying that said Newcastle United is a shell and it's got minimum staff. We can't just sack them all.
There has to
be some sort of structure, and that's what we wanted as fan base structure. Yeah. And this is exactly what they're doing. Yes, we don't want Bruce there. Yes, we don't want Lee Charnley there, and they won't be there.
No.
But we just have to be patient right now. Yeah. We've waited God knows how long, 14 years under Mike Ashley for some sort of structure. Wait another couple of weeks. It might be before the next international break where you'll see the big changes. I think there's three games maybe before that break.
Do you think Bruce will still be there after them two or three games? Or how
depending how Sunday goes, possibly.
Yeah.
I think Bruce could win the next three games. And I still think he gets sacked at the end of that.
Yeah.
I think, but if we win Sunday, I don't think there's going to be any sort of rush to replace him.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think what we have to remember as well is we have to start winning football matches. And I think we've all been carried away, and rightfully so, by the way, with everything that's gone on and Ashley's gone, these new people are in. But we are still in a poor position in the league. We still haven't won yet. We need to win. And, there's an amount of pressure when you think of it, one sense of getting a result. I don't really think it, in terms of the atmosphere, I don't think it matters Bruce is going to be there. I don't really think the result matters at the end of the day in regards to the atmosphere. I think it'll be brilliant anyway.
We have to remember now that this is a celebration going into Sunday.
It is, it really is.
Rather than our chance to say, Bruce, piss off. Like, this is our chance. We know he's going.
Yeah.
Why turn the atmosphere sour?
The other thing mentioned on there as well was this payoff thing of that. In order, Ashley paid, obviously, to get him in on the lowest possible amount of money.
3-year rolling contract.
To be fair to Mark, I'll whisper this. He was kind of right in that sense, right? It was just a wee word.
He got the background of it right.
Yeah.
He didn't get the definition of a 3-year contract. Yeah,
definitely
right.
Not. No.
But if he gets sacked next Wednesday.
Yeah.
I hope he gets sacked on a Wednesday.
Yeah, that's true. He's basically going to be, he has to be paid £8 million.
Hmm.
So Ashley said, right, I'm going to give you a pretty crap wage, but don't worry. If I ever sack it or somebody else sacks it, they're going to get £8 million.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of money.
Yeah. And Ashley's probably thought, I'm probably not going to own this club.
That was it. That,
when you get sacked.
That's exactly it. And Ashley, in fairness, as much as he's left wearing the shit there, it's on his side, it's clever. It's, you know, if you're just thinking about being him as a business guy, you know, he knows I'm never going to sack you. And now, can I just also say, we now know why he never sacked him, by the way, because he was never going to pay him £8 million. So even after the Brighton game, we're all thinking I'm sticking money on it that he's gone, really that, if I'd have known that fact, Ashley was never going to spend
it's
that.
A huge
so
point, isn't
when
it?
You think, you know, you've paid £4 million to get him in, you know, then his salary and then £8 million to sack him, it's probably the worst bit of business ever made. But anyway, so they're saying it's £8 million to get rid of him. And I feel as if, well, this is a question I had for you, sorry. I'm not saying I'm worried here when I say this, but it sounds like I'm worried when I'm about to say it. But I'm not worried, right?
Okay.
Do you worry?
Sounds like you're worried.
That there's perhaps too many cooks in this situation of, we've got like Amanda, we've got husband, we've got the Rubens, we've then got these Saudi guys need to come over. Is there too many cooks and who has the final decision and stuff like that?
No.
Okay.
It doesn't bother us. Because we know who's got the purse. We know who's got that.
True.
So they're going to have final say. I think, as we've seen and as we've heard over the last couple of days, that Amanda Staveley will need authorization from PIF because they're the major shareholder in this one. So they're going to have final say. It might take a little bit longer to do that, but hence why I think that they'll look at appointing the right people where it doesn't have to go down that chain, where PIF will just say, right, you're in control of the day-to-day running the football club. If you fuck up, we'll replace you.
Yeah. Because that's one of the reasons why I'm thinking perhaps Bruce hasn't been sacked yet. One half of us is thinking they haven't got a replacement. Okay, so fair enough. You've just got to hold on to what you have type of thing. The other half of us is thinking, is it, yes, Amanda Staveley wants rid of him, but people have to sign off on that.
Yeah.
And it's kind of taking longer to go down the chain. Then part of us thought, God, I hope we don't have to have this issue all the time where it's like, well, I want to sign this player, but he doesn't, and we need to ask the Saudis if we can. You know, maybe I'm looking too deep into that. But in essence, getting the director, the executive of the club sorted are so paramount, I think,
for
moving forward. And that's why part of us also thinks, if we are going to have a technical director or a sporting director or whatever the title they're going to give
them. You're going to have like a sporting director. You're going to have a director of football. You're going to have an abundance of high-profile jobs.
I feel as if you need to get that in first and then he almost chooses the manager because that he has a relationship with.
He could physically attract a decent manager.
Depending on who he is, yeah.
Because
the other side is if you get your manager in first and you go, oh, by the way, 3 weeks later, this is now going to be a director of football, he might not be on board with that.
Yeah. No, I understand that,
Do you maybe bring in the director level of the club first and then your manager comes in last? I don't know, but it's certainly food for thought anyway.
This is what I mean. We're all just here, and we have been over the last 7 days saying, this needs to happen now. Bruce should be sacked. But if you take a step back and try and understand from a business point of view, I know it's our football club, but it is a business at the end of the day. That's why they've purchased it.
Yeah.
You have to appreciate that these things may take a lot of time. But the worrying thing for us now is, yes, we're sat 19th in the Premier League, so we don't have that much time on our hands to stay in this league, basically.
Well, that's my only worry. I mean, it's still early. It's been 7 games. I do get that. And I think the players will get a sort of a bump in confidence.
They've lit a fire on another off.
Yeah, I think so. And hopefully we'll see that on Sunday. But we can't really sort of forget the situation we're in and that we need to start winning games and start pulling out of this mess, like, you know, because what I would love to be in a situation where come January, we are, I'm not saying safe, no one's safe at that point, but like in a better position so we're going to maybe attract more players come January. I don't want to be sitting 19th or 18th in January because you might not be able to sign the right player then. But
so because we've just spoken about the likes of roles at the football club, we'll touch on this on Monday night when we've done the podcast, but two of the key figures which have been mentioned are Alan Shearer and Kevin Keegan. Apparently both have been in touch quite a fair bit over this process of the takeover, Alan Shearer more so than Kevin Keegan. A lot of people saying, oh, we haven't heard much from Kevin Keegan over the last week. you never really hear much from Kevin Keegan. Unless he's doing talkings and stuff. He's not this type of person that's on media duties left, right, and centre. You very rarely see him do them, especially for the likes of British broadcasts.
Never on Sky or anything, is he? He just doesn't do anything. It's
always overseas that he tends to do.
Yep.
What's your thoughts on that? I know you love Keegan. Yeah. I know you do.
Yeah. More than anyone.
Can you see him coming in as that sort of ambassador style role? Basically just going around the world showcasing this football club.
I don't know, you know. I don't know. Now, you know, in an ideal world, in a dream world, yes. Yes, because I think, you know, listening to Keegan and allowing Keegan to do that, there's nobody better for that job. Certainly thinking back to the days, and it's a long time ago when he was managing and stuff like that, you know, the players that we signed, I believe, were fully because Keegan was allowed to be in that room one-to-one and sold the passion of the club and all the rest of it. I'm unsure if he's getting on. He is getting on. Mm-hmm. That doesn't stop you necessarily, but he is getting on. The first point of call for me with Keegan anyway is he has to be more involved in regards to like showcasing who he is and sort of remembering his name, because we just do not remember his name. Well, we didn't under Ashley anyway.
Which is something Amanda Stevie pointed out, saying, why is there no representation of Kevin Keegan?
Why is he never spoke about? Why he's almost like the devil or something, you know what I mean? He's never talked about.
It's like Voldemort.
Voldemort. Don't mention his name type of thing. And now, don't get us wrong, I would love him to see him, you know, I don't know, like doing an ambassador role. I mean, Bobby Moncur was doing something for years, right? Like in regards to, he was on
the board at one point.
On a board at one point, which was a bit strange, I thought. But anyway,
when we had a three-man board, I think.
That's right, yeah. It was McLaren, because McLaren was part of that as well, because he was on the board, wasn't he?
I think you had McLaren, Moncur, Charney, and Ashley.
Which was strange again. But definitely having Keegan on board, it has to be a must, right? And for me, I've said it for so many times, I'd name a stand after him. I would have a statue of him. I know apparently he doesn't want a statue, but hey, we're giving you one. Whether you want one or not, right?
If you want it or not, you get one.
Because I've always said he changed us as a football club. He come in when we were the worst.
Would you have Kevin Keegan as a player or Kevin Keegan as a manager statue?
Oh, Jesus.
I would go player. Get the perm on him.
It probably has to be, maybe. More iconic. Is it something to go off?
I would go player.
Well, we'll just do two. We'll do it. Okay.
We'll switch it. You can turn it around. That's a good... You look at it from one side, it looks like a player.
Yeah, that's what we'll do. It probably would be a player. But
holograms. We're that rich now. We could have a Keegan hologram.
Yeah, that's what we want. Yeah. Have him like a hologram every time he signs a ticket. He's like, afternoon.
Who was that American football team that had the Panthers? Would have been the Panthers?
Oh, the Panthers, yeah.
We'll do that with Keegan.
Yeah, Keegan just jumping off the stand. Yeah, that's what we want.
Helicopter comes in every game.
I'd love it if we did these today.
Massive face in the middle of the pitch.
Yeah, I'm game for that. Like, he definitely needs more recognition if he wants to become on some kind of ambassador role along with Shearer. Because let's talk about Shearer for a second. I mean, the one thing she said, why is his statue where it is? So I have a feeling
it's on council land.
That's going to move by what I'm
hearing. Where would you put it?
I don't know. I was thinking that as well, actually. I think...
Would you shift Jackie again? Jackie's been all over the world.
He's been everywhere, hasn't he? It would be nice to be there. I don't really know where you could... I don't know where you could put it. I mean, is there anything above... You know where St. James's Park's written, you've got the steps. I think it's where Keith and that's been standing the last few days, to be quite honest.
At the car park?
Kind of. And you know where you... But then again, that's where all the sort of Sky vans would park, wouldn't there, and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
Getting ready
it's not really accessible for it's the not everyday
as if,
fan.
No, it's
sometimes.
Not. As if, no, it's not.
I think the place I was thinking, and once again, I don't think this is owned by Newcastle anymore, but opposite Shearer's Bar, where the billboards are.
Yes, I get what you're
like
saying,
there, just because it's in front of the Gallagher.
And that's normally where the food bank would set up.
Thereabouts, okay. You can't really get any closer at the Gallagher because you've got the beer garden from Shearer's.
True.
So that's only other place I can think of off the top of my head, because you don't want them anywhere else around the ground, really, do you?
Well, you need them because I know everyone could probably say you could go the other side and do it like the east stand or the...
Gets a bit minging when you go over that side, though.
And you need it to the front. You need it to the sort of the entrance. So basically where Bobby is, of course, is brilliant, but that's untouchable. It is. I know what you mean. I mean, where Jackie would be is fine, if I'm honest, but then that means Jackie has to move again. I don't know where on earth he'd move him now.
Where's Jackie been? So he's been on St. James Boulevard. Yes,
that's where I remember him. Yeah.
Apparently he's on Northumberland Street.
Northumberland Street.
McDonald's. that yes. sort of area. And Mark said, I'm not sure if he's right, but he might have been in like Cramlington at one point.
Oh, I'm not sure about that.
He was up there somewhere at some point.
Right, okay.
You might have lied. It's Mark. You might have lied.
Yeah. I remember him being on St. James's Park because I remember I was coming up the road and I thought, I used to always say, what a random place to have him.
Like, I used to be on the mural, the Tyne Bridge. Mural there.
And then they brought him back to the ground, which made perfect sense. Like, I think someone pinched the ball, didn't they, as well?
Mark mentioned that as well. Somebody pinched the ball.
He's right on that one for once. But yeah, someone did pinch the ball. Probably Mark. But actually. But going on to Shearer, I think, you know, obviously your statue is probably going to move, which I'm all for, if I'm honest. Yeah. Where we can put it, I don't know. But yes, definitely. He is 100%. Going to get a role, isn't he, of an ambassador role, which I asked him when he came on the podcast during lockdown, and yeah. I said, what role would you know, can you envision yourself having a role? I didn't mean managerial or even coach, and I meant that, you know, and he answered that and said that he wants to do that, and
yeah,
what more, you know, he's the best guy you could probably have for the job, right? You know, he's
so once again, he was there on the Thursday. He went down at Jesmond Dean House.
Right, so he's obviously, yeah. Yeah.
So,
what do you think them chatted about, really? Well, I've obviously been pleasantries at first. Do you reckon Amanda said, like, what's the fans' thoughts on Bruce and stuff like that? Do you think that might have been a conversation?
I think she might have obviously had his ear for a little bit of stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But maybe it was just a case of realizing you're this club legend. Mm. So I just want to have your full backing and basically some tips of going forward, those sort of things. It could have been as easy as that.
Yeah. And obviously, Shearer lives and breathes it, and he knows. All the sort of the faults of the current, I mean, Christ, he's worked under him. But I think also it's very clever by the consortium as well, though, to get them on side quickly. And that's what I would do.
We mentioned this on Monday's recording of basically tappings that they can score. Just nice, simple things that they can address straight away. And one of those is one of them.
I also, the podcast I listened to last night, they were saying on there that Amanda was actually stunned that she had done a lot of, bearing in mind you mentioned that she's been trying to buy her for so long.
Mm.
She's had a lot of people within the club and around the club that have been going back to her saying, this is an issue, that's a possible issue. But when she's actually got in there, it's so much worse than she expected it was. And I think that's why, coming back to what we spoke about at the start, there was time. You know what I mean?
Mm.
You've had 14 years of damage here. Can't be repaired in 7 days. Like,
yeah,
so it's going to take a lot of time. But we know, or we certainly believe, that we'll have the right people there and the financial backing to repair the damage that's been made, which is great, right?
So just to go through a couple more points there, January transfer window, it's always going to be looking at Newcastle now. We've been linked with every single player under the sun in the last 7 days. Absolutely ridiculous.
Quite players.
Yeah, it's good. This is going to be us from now on, though, mate. This will be us.
It's nice in one sense to be actually linked with someone, but I get what you're saying.
So to address, if we just put that on the shelf for a second, but address the likes of the managerial position, first of all, who would your choice be now? Because we're in an awkward position right now. We're sitting 19th in the league, but then also hoping for a brighter future. So you need somebody that's willing to realise where we are and that basically they're going to be used as a stepping stone, probably.
Well, again, I know I'm banging the same drum here about what I've said, but what I was, again, listening to yesterday, they were saying that from the...
You love this podcast.
I'm sorry, I know. It's just, when I listened to it, I was like, wow.
Do you want
to
tell everybody what the podcast was? Was it the Duncan Castle one?
It was Duncan Castle one, yeah.
But you can't remember our podcast.
I can't. Okay. And I'm sorry about going on about it, but there was something he said which even made me thought, bloody hell. He believes that they want to get someone in on interim term and tell them, you're only here till the end of the year.
Similar to what Chelsea have done umpteen times.
Just keep up, we'll pay you, ta-ra. Mm. Now that's like...
That's Sam Allardyce coming in then.
Well, the first thought is, what type of manager is going to accept that? Like,
I've just named him.
Well, I know what you are. It's that stamp, right, where we want you to come in for half a season, keep up and wave you goodbye.
What's Avram Grant doing these days?
Well, practically, I get it, right? Because you want to wait until the summer comes because you've got more time then to be able to pick the right guy, give him the money to spend, blah, 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 blah. But I still worry that interim period, I mean, Jesus, like, not many out there that's going to...
It could go tits up as well.
Can't it? And that worries us massively. But coming back to your first question, sorry, is... I seen the links with Brendan Rodgers, and I said, "There's no way."
We said that straight away, didn't we?
He's not going to come, man. And we have to be really, honest and realize that, as you said, we're 19th. Conte, for example, he's not going to work with the current setup we've got.
No.
It takes time, and I struggle. I would take Potter the Mora because I've always liked I've spoke about him so many times on here. Having said that, didn't he come out on Sky, or certainly leak something to Sky last night, that he feels annoyed and upset for fans having to listen to these nonsense rumours? He didn't say about Newcastle, but he was alluding to that.
But with all due respect to Brighton,
I get it.
Newcastle United are a different sort of club. Absolutely. And even more so now.
I totally agree. Now, my question to you there, let's say it was par. Right? I'm not saying it is, but let's say it was. Do you feel that a big percentage of the fan base are like, well, we've got this one, we've got Graham Potter? Do you feel that?
100%. Yeah. 100%. People that, once again, are thinking, right, we're going to be challenging for things next year.
Yeah.
We'll have to understand that this is a project.
Yes.
And we're going to have to take our time. And yes, it will be a progression, a hell of a lot more than what we have seen in the past. Mm-hmm. But you will see changes, and it's going to take a matter of time, and we just have to sit on our hands and enjoy the ride.
Oh, 100%. And do you know, I was speaking to someone, I can't remember who it was, but I was saying to him, I was like, this particular scenario that's going to play itself out will never happen again. Like, once the build is complete, if you like, and we are where we need to be, that this option of the build will never happen again. So we need to just enjoy.
It'll be what's exactly going to happen. Exactly. So, going to be at a point in the next 10 years where we'll be going, oh, who are playing this week? Who are playing Wednesday in the Champions League? And you'll be like,
that's what
there'll be some, like, no team from Russia. And you'll be like, I can't be fucked to go there.
But that's it. And I know it sounds ridiculous to sit here now and talk like that. But the goal is, that's the goal, right? Yeah. So when we get there, you're right, we'll be saying, like, oh, we're playing bloody Antwerp or something on Tuesday night or whatever.
I miss that one.
Whereas, like, this is the moment we're at now. We'll never see this again. Mm. Well, I hope you don't. But, like, this build and this sort of, like, where do we go from here? That type of thing. And, I mean, in terms of your thoughts, who do you want to see? Have you got someone in mind? Or?
So, I would have said, Potter as well.
And when you say Potter, is that, like, for 4 years or this 10-year plan you've got? Or
you would probably look at putting them on 4-year contract thereabouts, then if we're in a steady position, let's say this time next season or the season afterwards, if we're in the top 10, solid top 10 team, and that's probably where you'll look at, if you're not progressing any higher, you'll look at saying, right, bring the next one in.
Yeah.
We'll have to remember, we've been fighting relegation for God knows how many seasons.
Yeah.
So being a top 10 team in the next, well, I'm saying like a solid top 10 team in the next 5 years constantly. That's probably what I'm hoping for right now.
Because it's not easy. I mean, we've seen a lot of teams in the past, or even recent years, you know, like fall out of that. And you think, oh, what them doing there type of thing.
You look at Arsenal, like dropping massively. Spurs has recently dropped massively.
Yeah. There was a time when Everton were the same. Everton were in and around where we were. And we were shite. But I do agree. And I think this idea, I was speaking to someone, or I seen someone on Twitter say, oh, like, the next manager has to be the right one because this is a plan for the next 10 years. The days of a manager getting 5 to 10, it's gone. It'll never happen.
Look at Liverpool.
Yeah, well there's
Man City.
Yeah, Man City.
I mean, Chelsea.
You know, Chelsea's the prime example. That's every year almost. There's a new guy getting in there. The pressure when you get to that level is just so, you win it. You just win constantly, and you don't do it, you're out. So I feel as if the next manager that comes in, well, let's say it's what I've heard that them want. So what they were saying last night was, in it reminds you to get through the season, then we'll choose the guy. The guy, I still think, will only be to take to the next step, to the top 10. And then we'll go, thanks for your time, next one. Do you know what I mean? That's what I think. And I will put it out here now. The one man that I want is Mourinho. That's it. I can't seem to
just look, at some point.
At some point. Yeah. It has to happen.
It will happen. It will happen at some point. It might only be a season.
I even checked Roma's results to see how they were doing, and they're doing really well, so he's not going to come. But, like, I was hoping they were doing shit and he would come, but
I bet the odds would be horrendous now at some point Mourinho will manage Newcastle United, because it will happen.
It would. It will. I just imagine the fans would just be so with him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He could do no wrong. Certainly only does anyway. And it would be amazing to see him sitting in that chair, you know, the Mr. Robson kind of material coming out and stuff. And it would just be
so amazing. I was, just to wrap this one up, I was asked a question by Jamie Carragher, I think it was, that asked this one. He said, would you take Rafa back? In fact, no, Paul Scholes said, would you take Rafa back? And I said straight away, 100%, of course I would. But then the argument is, which we got involved with the Everton side of things from Toffees TV, he was saying, but why would he leave Everton? Yes, I get that. Yeah, yeah. I get that. But you've got to remember, Rafa waited for this Newcastle takeover. He wanted this job Obviously, the time went by, so he had to go find another job. And the fan from Toffees TV said to me, but he's already in a relegation fight. And I went, didn't stop him last time.
Very true. And it was worse than it. You only had 10 games at
didn't
that point.
Didn't stop him last time.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Rafa's always wanted money to spend at a football club, yep. And he's never really had that.
No, he wouldn't have.
So I could see Rafa coming back at some point again, but whether or not that would tarnish the relationship that we already have with Rafa could be another thing.
Yeah, well, first of all, the question you were asked was not about why would he leave Everton. The question was, would you have Rafa back? Mm-hmm. That's where people have to read. The question is what you're being asked, and you've answered it. So then to go, well, why would he leave Everton? That wasn't part of the question. The other thing is his age. And that, the reason why I say his age, if he come back tomorrow, of course, brilliant. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that question is that, like, if it's 4 or 5 mm-hmm. years down the line, he's really getting on, like, in,
you know. Wenger did it a while.
He did, like, I'll give you that, he did.
Ferguson did it a while.
And that's just to point out to you, I'm not saying I don't believe in Rafa because he's older. That's not the point. I mean, his own opinion is, God,
how old was he?
And Robson was older, right? But,
Man City's matter, Pellegrini.
Oh, he was a guy.
Yeah. He was a canny age.
Yeah, you know, he'd been dug up.
And Pardew was calling him a stupid old cat.
Yeah,
was it Pellegrini?
Yeah, it was Pellegrini.
Transfer window.
Yeah.
Give us one player now.
Oh, Jesus. Have you got one at all? Okay, well, I'll say mine. Jesse Lingard.
Yeah, right, okay. So Lingard is...
If it's 15 million, I mean, come on, let's get involved.
It's a no-brainer for me as well.
Yeah,
once again, this is something which we talked about on the overlap. We need to now look at, I think it was Jamie Carragher, this one said that we need to look at those sort of players. So players
best of the rest type of stuff?
Basically. Yeah. Say the ones that are good enough to play in a Premier League squad, but not that very top squad.
Yep.
And we'll have to look at those sort of players, and I fully agree. Bernie defender.
Yeah, Tchaikovsky. Yeah. There was another one on me, because I thought we need to strengthen defensively.
Mm-hmm.
He's brilliant, and probably, in all fairness, deserves a move.
They're not superstars.
Well, they're not.
But they'll help us mould into a solid team.
Oh, right.
And that's what we need.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if there's any more. Ward-Prowse has been mentioned, but he had just signed that 5-year contract not long ago.
I know Lingard's been mentioned with Barcelona and Milan's and stuff like that, which, of course, I mean, it's difficult to compete to a level. But if he wanted to stay in the Premier League and wanted to be part of something.
He wants to be part of the World Cup squad.
Yeah, it would be.
We could give him that chance, really. He's going to be getting game time.
The money. I mean, West Ham is probably after him. He had a great time at West Ham. If it's only 15 million, don't get us wrong, then we'll be knocking on his door. But hopefully, with the money we'd have, the capital, of course, and the plan would have, he might want to be part of it. So Lingard, to me, it would be a great. Well, of course, he'd be an amazing.
Yeah.
As Martial's been linked a lot. I'm not. Some people aren't a fan of that one.
I think we could do better.
Yeah, he's coming towards the end. I mean, he's still a great player, like, but yeah, I think Lingard was the one that stood out of his certainly, because you're trying to look at people who's actually available, right? Yeah. Like, who, you know,
so. You have to look at players that really got a year or two left on the contract.
Yeah, that would be willing to move, and I think that would be a great one.
Yeah, players that need a point to prove. Point,
yeah, definitely. Especially for World Cup and all the rest of it coming on.
Like. Yeah, that's about it, mate. Unless you've got anything that's jumping out at you.
No, I haven't. No.
I think we've covered quite a bit there.
Yeah, which obviously I wasn't on a Monday, and I just felt that I wanted to talk about it. Mm. So, yeah. So,
well, this place isn't moving, mate. You
can, we'll see. Yeah. I'll just come on me own and just sit here and chat.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And if you are listening for the audio, thank you very much. I just want to say a massive thank you to everybody that has became a member over the last week or so. There's been lots of you, so thank you very much. It helps us out massively. We can keep on improving everything that we do over here at Gallagher Shots. Thank you for everybody who's downloaded all the audios. That's gone through the roof as well. Shades United State went out earlier in the week, and that's done fantastic as well.
Great job,
interviews Adam Beckett of the Newcastle United Supporters Trust, and catches up with the fan base in Denver, Colorado. So we're ticking them off the list, and we're going around the states. We've got two down. Another 48 left.
Yeah, we'll be here a while.
Yeah, we could be, especially with 2-hour episodes.
Yeah, well.
Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you after the Spurs game. Go watch our video as well.